This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
I'd love to be in the Gold Glove conversation again. I think that's a goal I've had for a long time as I've taken more pride in defense. I'm in a very good National League group of center fielders, so that just adds to the excitement of shooting for that goal. But, I mean, if we're talking goals that matter, we got Kyle Tucker now. We got some good arms. We got Carson as a experienced, important position at catcher. So if we're talking important goals, I mean, I want to be a part of this team and play in October.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of Pete Crow Armstrong. And I like the way he separated his personal goal with the team goal, and making the playoffs is the important one.
I like the way he sounded there. He sounded like a mature, young professional. He sounded like a guy who has his priorities in the right place, and he sounded like a winning baseball player. Let's hope that he continues the progress on the field and he hits well enough in the lineup so that at one point this season, early or late or in the middle, whenever, I think you want to see him move up in the order. I think he's more dangerous as a catalyst. It doesn't have to be opening day. It doesn't have to be April. I would hope that at some point in time this season, Pete Crow Armstrong is
playing well enough to be your leadoff hitter.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's one thing. So, Mully, there are two things yesterday I think were of some concern for Cub fans. Reports from reputable sources, from The Athletic, that I think bear discussion or looking at deeper, and people may have their thoughts. 312-644-6767. The Boston Globe, the Athletic reported that Theo Epstein, in his advising Craig Breslow, the former director of pitching for the Cubs, that Theo hired, I believe.
Yes.
Theo Epstein helped Craig Breslow through the process and played a role, an impactful role, in landing Alex Bregman. And without it, without that guidance, without that voice, the implication was they might not have gotten him. The very elaborate process. The Bregman's had 19 pages of questions for ownership, and Theo was advising advising Breslow behind the scenes. That's number one. Because the shadow of Theo continues to kind of hang and hover over Wrigley Field. And the second thing is Ken Rosenthal.
Oh, he went after Tom Ricketts.
He's been on the muscle this offseason with Tom Ricketts, and it's so consistent and it's so specific that you do wonder what's behind it. But essentially, he spells out under a heading, Cubs flailing and failing, that he points out the inability to go after Alex Bregman signals a lack of commitment from ownership.
Let's take a listen.
Today, I want to build on a note that I had in my Sunday Notes column, the one about the Cubs and how they whiffed on Alex Bregman. And I started the note by saying, or recalling, what Theo Epstein said when the Cubs traded for Aroldis Chapman during the 2016 season. Theo, who was trying to break a 108-year World Series title drought, said, "If not now, when?" Now, as I mentioned, the situation for the Cubs now is not as urgent as it was then. But Alex Bregman for them presented an opportunity, a pretty rare opportunity, at a moment in time when they should have been ready to strike. Now, why is Bregman, or why was Bregman, such a rare opportunity? A couple of reasons. This is perhaps the only year the Cubs will have Kyle Tucker. At this point, you probably can say it is going to be the only year the Cubs are going to have Kyle Tucker because of the way that they've resisted spending long-term for the most part in recent years. So you've got 1 year of Kyle Tucker, at least one certain year of club control. You've had years in which you were financially disciplined, cutting the payroll, trying to put yourself in a position where when an opportunity like Bregman arose, you'd be ready to go. Well, what did the Cubs do? They made the fourth highest offer behind the Tigers, behind the Astros, behind the Red Sox. I'm talking about total guaranteed money. And obviously, they didn't get the player. So I was critical of them in this particular note, and I said, if not now, when? That's the question Theo asked. And Tom Ricketts, as owner, his answer lately seems to be never. And when you're charging the highest ticket prices in the game, or among the highest ticket prices, I should say, that's a problem. And that's a lack of commitment that, frankly, deserves to be called out.
He's been calling them out left and right.
That's why I think it was important that Tom Ricketts say something last Friday when he addressed the team and did not address the media. I do feel like there's a perception out there that's growing, not just because of Ken Rosenthal, but there is a perception. I know that it was addressed maybe during Cubs convention, but when you miss on Bregman and it's such an open pursuit, a deeper explanation, I think, is fair to expect maybe from us, but maybe you want it to go away quickly. But when you're called out by a guy as respected nationally as Ken Rosenthal is, I do think that it merits some explanation.
I think, you know, when we asked some questions this morning about depth and we talked about if this and if that, the reality is that they did indeed give Bregman or give Bellinger away more or less in a salary dump move. And we said, okay, well, we'll just see how it winds up and where it winds up. And I think if they got Bregman, we would be sitting here this morning saying, oh, well, they did the right thing because they brought in a guy, certainty at third base.
No questions asked.
Okay, and that would be the end of it. But now that they've yet to do something, and again, it's the beginning of spring training. There is time. There are plenty of things you could do. But are they going to do anything? It seems
there's really little to do.
Well, I mean, I don't know. If Dylan Cease were traded.
Well, yes.
If
that seems to be remote, especially after the Padres came out last week and put out feelers they made it clear.
They made a statement.
A.J.
Preller came out.
They have no intention of trading Dylan Cease. And I don't think that was an invitation to up an offer. I think that was a statement on behalf of a general manager who's in the midst of his own ownership crisis there. They're dealing with a lot of issues with the Padres, and I think he wanted to make clear that they're not going to be selling necessarily. And so now you're the Cubs, and I do think it's because of the Bellinger trade that this feels a little bit more frustrating.
Yes.
And it feels a little bit more on point, but not worthy of dismissal right away.
But, you know, and Kenny Rosenthal is right by all accounts that the Cubs finished fourth in terms of the dollars that they were offering for Bregman. But let's say that Theo wasn't even involved in this. We all sit up and take notice because Theo wants it. Theo said, so I think we all respect him and take notice of that. But without the extra $10 million a year, is he going to Theo? Like, it feels as if Theo was the one who said, hey, whatever this costs, let's look at the bigger picture.
Well,
we got to pay it because it makes us better.
The story suggests that Theo helped them come up with different ways to structure the offer or
yes.
the deal. Maybe the deferral was part of his idea or conversation. I know I presented it that way. I don't know how tightly those two thoughts are connected. I think that Theo's involvement with the Red Sox in landing Bregman, that may have happened regardless of the Cubs' involvement or the willingness to be, you know, to offer deferrals or to up the offer. I find that fascinating, though, in terms of people that hold Theo at a certain level in Chicago. He'll always be on that pedestal here.
But he's also made bad free agent decisions in the past, too.
Edwin Jackson, thanks you for remembering him.
Well, I mean, so does Jay Hay.
Exactly.
I'm just saying that it doesn't necessarily mean that this is the great move. What I find fascinating about the Bregman thing is now they got a problem in their camp. They're just getting together, and Rafael Devers is saying, I'm the third baseman, I'm playing third base. And everyone knows, well, you know, there's a better option here, and we're going to make the decision on what that option is.
And it's great, Alex Cora, the manager, reminding him that the guy who promised him that is now with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Well, there you go. I mean, it's totally true.
That'll work itself out.
I know it
always
will,
works
but
itself
I mean,
out.
I'm just saying.
It would be a great problem to have. Wouldn't you love to be the Cubs having that situation about what do we do with all of these talented infielders?
Yeah.
We were paying too many people too much money, and boy, we've got to fit them all in the same lineup.
Provided you don't end up playing a guy out of position and getting worse at two positions that you thought you were going to. That is the
Bregman
only problem.
Bregman is not a natural second baseman, even though he may have played some of that middle infield in college. Been a long time. He's a gold glove third baseman.
That's the point.
He might be better there, but I thought that's the Red Sox, they've really put themselves in a position to be more competitive and challenge the Yankees and the Orioles in that division. And you have to respect the way they have been aggressive. They got Garrett Crochet, and then they added Bregman. And so now Craig Breslow has put together a roster that's capable of challenging for the AL East.
Yeah, no shadow of a doubt. Now, here's the thing as far as the Cubs are concerned. They're still going to challenge for the Central. They're probably favored in the Central, but that has as much to do with what other teams haven't done as it does with what the Cubs
they
have
should
done.
Be. They should be favored. They should
and they
always
would have
be favored.
Been, they would have been a bigger favorite, and it would have been you would have felt like it was more of a lock if they got Bregman, but they're still the favored team in the division, and they're with a group that I maybe outside of Cincinnati doesn't seem to show much ambition
they really
at
don't.
All.
Right now, without Bregman, you can see and say they're better than the other teams in the NL Central. With Bregman, you could see and say that they were worthy of challenging the Dodgers. That's the way you would look at it because and the Dodgers are here and everybody else is below them, so you want to be the best of the bunch, and the Cubs could have realistically challenged for that spot if they had added Alex Bregman, which I think the reaction is what it is, because you feel like they missed an opportunity, which is why the Kenny Rosenthal
call out?
It's criticism that's valid and warranted, because he does have the numbers to point it out. He says, and he goes on to this, the Cubs in 2023 were top five in revenue and franchise value, according to Forbes. Their current estimated luxury tax payroll is 14th. There's a gap there you'd like to close. And he asks this question, which I think is one that will nag Cub fans all season long. If Ricketts couldn't land Bregman on a short deal, why should anyone expect him to keep Tucker long-term?
Oh, they're not going to keep Tucker long-term. I feel like they've already made that decision, and that's why doubling down with a 1 year on Bregman would have been, you know.
Precisely. That's
ideal.
The point.
Yeah.
If you are conceding that now, then you should have been willing to funnel everything you've got and be as aggressive as necessary to land the big fish if you identified Alex Bregman as that guy. So it's hard to get past because the criticism keeps coming and the points are increasingly valid, and I think that it's hard to move on from that.
Can I ask the question about the future labor disagreement?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, there is anticipation of a potential work stoppage issue that could come up after 26, I believe
the,
it is.
December 26, 2026 is when the CBA expires.
Yes. Okay. So are the Cubs reluctant to spend long-term money for fear that that could last longer than people anticipate?
That is the reality. That's the unfortunate reality, I believe. That's why I would like to hear from the chairman before we make that assumption.
He'll never say that.
I don't think, but there are ways to answer these questions that you have a responsibility, I think, to address. So, yeah, right. I think that's a point that everybody is considering moving forward, but I just don't know that you want to be the best prepared team for the work stoppage when you're entering a season that has this much promise.
You know, I'm not arguing that at all. I'm just asking the question.
It's a fair question. It's the right question.
It's
the hard thing to accept, perhaps. And maybe that's why I sound a little bit, not agitated, but frustrated, because I do think you're right, but I don't think that's the reality you want to have to accept in February before you're two seasons away from a work stoppage.
312-644-6767. Kevin is in Palatine. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, good morning, guys. I love that Rosenthal article, because now that the national guys are starting to get onto this guy. So think about Tom Ricketts' life. You know, he wins in 2016. He's the conquering hero. And then when he's at Cubs convention, he said he's accosted every day on the street of people calling him cheap, asking him why he won't spend. And then his discussion the other day to the team about, well, it's an honor to play for the Cubs and you got to worry about the minor leagues. No, go out and spend some money. The reason Theo isn't here is because Tom was shocked that Jason Hayward was as bad as he was and he wasn't going to keep outlaying. And Theo's like, hey, sometimes you swing and miss. This bench right now, John Birdie, Brujan, Vidal, Nicky Lopez, there isn't anyone coming off this bench.
Nicky Lopez probably, I mean, Kevin, I doubt he'll make the team. Isn't he on a minor league deal and it has a try? I mean, let's not confuse who the real kind of people who are trying out for the team are. My question when you talk about depth is, are there any of these minor league players that you would bring up if you knew you weren't going to play them? I mean, is it more important to just have the best players you can in Iowa playing every day so if something goes wrong on the big league club, you can get the bus going?
If someone hit the ball out of the infield on a fly, so maybe Alcantara.
Yeah, I think you're right, Kevin.
I mean, that's what Patrick Wisdom was. He could hit a 400-footer once in a while. There's nothing like that on this bench, and I'm just telling you, Brewers are going to win this division again.
I don't think you can rule that out. And the Brewers are always to be respected, never to be underestimated, and they always seem to find a way. I just think that the Cubs have put themselves in a position where you but it's not inconceivable for them to have their prospects hit at the same time. By hit, I mean like arrive.
Yes.
And if they are guys that do that, then this conversation will seem silly in a couple months or 6 months because you'll say, wow, we didn't see that coming from Matt Shaw. Wow, isn't PCA a polished product? Wow, look at Miguel Amaya behind the plate and then Michael Bush establishing himself. Those are the four guys I have the most questions about, because I think those are the four guys that are the most unproven regular players in the everyday lineup. And they believe in their scouting, they believe in their drafting, they believe in their infrastructure, and they may be right. And if they're right, a lot of this stuff will be irrelevant.
Right.
But they've got to be right.
Yeah, they have to be correct on it. Don't you think it's super weird that a team like Pittsburgh that has, you know, Paul Skeens on a 5-year deal doesn't do anything to get better in the offseason? You know what I mean? When you've got a player that you know you're not going to have long-term.
A generational guy.
Shouldn't you have done more?
I think a lot of teams and a lot of owners are feeling what you just expressed. There's a fear of 2027 when you have to go into a season without revenue. And how long will that loss of revenue go on? And how much will that wreck you financially? So maybe there's an unwillingness to commit for a team like the Pirates, who have a couple pitchers, really, that you could build around.
That's what I'm saying.
They've got a young staff that you could say and justify going out and spending on free agents to build around
But they're going to have to throw a lot of shutouts.
Yeah, they're going to have to win a lot of 2-1 games.
All right. We got our guy John Heyman joining us next. We're going to keep the conversation going with John. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
John Heyman, insider for MLB Network.
Chicago is watching carefully, no question about it.
New York Post columnist, Curb Your Enthusiasm enthusiast.
You hate people.
Well, I hate people individually, but I love mankind.
John Heyman with Mully and Haw.
I'm going to endorse the point where I say you never know with the Cubs, but I'm going to retract the I like the White Sox.
On 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. It's always a delight to talk to the great John Heyman, and he joins us now on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. John, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
It's a little chilly, I'm going to be honest with you. It's kind of sub-zero and been a tough week, will be a tough week, but hey, we're used to it. We're from the Midwest. We're strong stock.
You're tough.
That's right.
Yeah, I'm feeling chilly, and it's 53 degrees
in stop. Kansas. Oh, wow.
You're going through a living
That's
hell.
That's tough.
So help us out. I don't know why I had forgotten that Theo was doing some work with Boston. I know. For some reason, I thought he was over in Liverpool trying to fix that group. But no, he was helping in the Bregman pursuit, and we've kind of chatted about it a little bit just because everybody, you know, the Cubs had gone 108 years before they won a World Series, and obviously Theo, the center of that, and you look at it now and he's there, and I just wonder, what could he have said other than give the guy an extra $10 million a year that would have secured Bregman? You know what I mean? Like, they kind of paid a lot of money for him.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what he said. Give him an extra, I don't know, $10 million, but a million something. I don't know. They won the bidding. Detroit was up there. He decided to leave guaranteed money on the table and went for the higher average annual salary. And, that's it. I wouldn't blame Theo on beating out the Cubs. They beat themselves. Their offer was not even close. I'm not blaming Jed Hoyer either. I think he wanted the player very badly, tried hard. But, ownership wanted to get a deal, it looks like to me.
So, John, what, if anything, does the Cubs' inability to land Alex Bregman say about their commitment to winning?
I mean, it says what we've been saying for years, right? Andrew Friedman said this years ago, if you're reasonable in free agency, you'll always finish third. sometimes you got to step out and do it. They did it for Swanson, but they didn't do it in this case. And I mean, you know, I think if you look at the projections, they probably have the best team on paper in that division. Maybe they were swayed by that. We're going to win the division anyway. We should be in the playoffs anyway. I'm not sure, but they did not come close from what I understand.
So, you know, we understand what the big stories in baseball are. We talked a little bit this morning about kind of what's going to happen in a couple of years, the potential labor issues. Do you think that any of their decisions are kind of related to not wanting to have a lot of money owed during that period of time?
I just think the Cubs have very conservative ownership. You know, there are some owners that prioritize winning above all else, and I think the Cubs are probably making a very nice profit. You know, there are some small market teams that were hurt by the TV situation to some degree, or at least it made it a little bit more unpredictable. They may actually end up doing better with the streaming than they did with local TV. I'm not sure, but for now, the money isn't guaranteed, and they're a little concerned, and I get that. But, I mean, the Cubs have huge revenue. They're a big market team. They are beloved. I don't want to say they have a monopoly in Chicago, but at the moment, sorry, Mully, they certainly have the advantage. And, you know, you'd like to see them try a little bit harder when it comes to free agency. At least I would.
22 of the 30 teams this year have lowered payroll, according to USA Today. And there were only five free agents receiving contracts of at least 5 years. John, it seems that obviously Major League Baseball, not just the Cubs, are bracing for this work stoppage. And I just wonder how do you avoid, is it impossible to ignore, but is this going to loom over every decision that's made over the next two seasons?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it was. There are teams that did step out, you know, certainly. Some surprise teams. The Angels certainly spent some money this year, this winter. I think when all said and done, I don't think it's going to be quite that lopsided in favor of non-spenders. But, yeah, we're still a couple years away from a potential lockout. That to me, is no excuse.
Who's the most like? I'm only asking this because I the White Sox can't have nice things, and Luis Robert Jr. is still rumored to be on the trading block. The idea was they couldn't get enough for him, so they are probably going to wait a little bit here. Is that dangerous to wait on a guy with his injury history? It seems like he's one more injury away from being kind of immovable, and I just am curious, do you believe that he is as likely to move as anyone out there, and are they just waiting to see if they can get two prospects instead of one that is currently on the table?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should have, nor I don't think they considered that seriously. They probably certainly talk to teams, but I mean, you'd be selling a stock at, you know, at the lowest point ever if you traded him now. They've got to wait a half year. If he puts together a half year like he did a couple years ago, you know, they should be able to get a lot more than they could get right now. Right now, I'm skeptical, certainly in this environment, whether he's worth as much as that contract. We all thought this was a bargain contract when he signed that. But we thought that about Moncada and Eloy Jimenez and a lot of other people, too. So we shall see. I mean, he has done it at the major league level more than the other guys did. There is that potential, and I think they're doing the right thing by holding him and seeing if he has a good first half. I don't think the value can go down at this point. I think he had as bad a year as he could possibly have last year, and I do not think he will repeat that.
So, John, out in L.A., the Angels, I guess it's in Arizona now until the season starts, but announced yesterday Mike Trout's going to play right field. And this is an effort to keep him healthy and to maybe extend his career. What are your thoughts about one of the game's best players who's been injured too often lately moving to right field?
Not surprised. They need to keep him at bat, you know, whether it be DH ultimately or one of the corners. We'll see. For now, it's right field. But, I mean, I think DH probably keeps him healthier than right field. I think you can still hurt yourself in right field. And, you know, they've just been snake bit. I mean, you talk about teams that are unlucky. You know, maybe you can blame them if you want. But, I mean, Rendon, did anyone think he was going to be this when he signed for $245 million? Obviously, that first Trout deal worked, but the second one, not so much. I mean, they have really, I mean, they've tried free agency many different ways, and I'm hard-pressed to name one that really worked for them. I guess you could say Pujols because it helped with the TV deal at the time, but and he was good for the first 5 years, but C.J. Wilson didn't work. Josh Hamilton didn't work. Justin Upton, Gary Matthews Jr., the list goes on and on with the free agent failures out there, and they you know, it's time something go right for the Angels, and I give them credit for getting, you know, Jansen, and maybe Moncada will have a bounce back and doing some stuff in the winter, and good for them that they're at least trying it.
Aaron Judge shows up in camp, and it was interesting to hear what he had to say about Soto, and he didn't agree with him deciding to go there, but he said something like it's where he wanted to go, and that's why he's there. So it just felt a little weird to hear him say that. He also apparently has, like, both his elbows are feeling tendonitis. That's kind of scary.
Yeah, right. Stanton on the elbows, right.
Oh, Stanton's on the elbows. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, we got so many different guys here with different issues. But Judge, I think Judge said the right thing. I think that's exactly correct. He wanted to be a Met. Look, he had a $760 million offer from the Yankees. They're not a team that wastes money. You know, they have the revenue, and they went and tried very, very hard to get him. Their bids were high every round, and they basically bid the same thing. You know, someone will say, oh, it's 16 years versus 15. I mean, we're talking about when the guy's 41 years old, you know. I mean, they came in $5 million short of the Mets. So it's not about the money, no matter what anyone else says. Judge has it right. He, for whatever reason, you know, they had meetings. The family really makes the decisions, I think, in that case. And I think that's the reason that the Mets won. And he preferred to be with the Mets. Judge was absolutely correct.
So, John, it seems in St. Louis, they hugged it out with Nolan Arenado, and he's going to play every day and ignore the trade rumors that kind of clouded his offseason. But I wonder, are they done shopping him? Would they take any offers? And could the Cubs get involved for trading for a third baseman like Arenado?
Yeah, I mean, you know, that full no trade, it makes things difficult, particularly when you're fairly picky about where you want to go. It sounded like Dodgers, Yankees, you know, it makes it very difficult. They're trying to get him to expand his wish list, as it were. You know, he had signaled earlier that he would consider Houston and then decided not to do it. Maybe after they traded Tucker, he didn't think they were heading in the right direction. I think Bregman kind of felt that too, and he left Houston. So I kind of get that, but, you know, you can do it. When Stanton was a free agent coming off of 59 home runs, you know, he rejected the Cardinals, the Giants, you know, a number of teams until he got to the right team. But, you know, in that case, he's coming off a historically good season. Arenado was basically an average player last year. He's got, I think, $74 million or something over 3 years. It's difficult and under those circumstances to be too picky. So it's going to be difficult probably to move him. And I mean, in this case, I'm okay with the Cubs going with the kid and trying him at third base. You know, Bregman is coming off a 26 home run season, 17 in the second half, Gold Glove. They're similar ages, but certainly Bregman does not seem to be trending down at the moment.
John, the White Sox claimed Owen White. The White Sox have this roster where you need experts to kind of pick through it. I mean, we were talking about this earlier in the day. Like, I've been following the Sox for a long time. I don't recognize
relatively anonymous.
I mean, holy guacamole. But But, you know, one man's trash is another man's treasure. What will this...
You never know what you might find on the waiver wire. Maybe they'll get lucky. I don't know. But, I mean, I think they're doing the right thing. I mean, they weren't going to jump from 41 wins to pennant contention this year. So I'm not advocating them wasting money to try to get 65 wins instead of 55 wins. So I get that. I think they did the right trade. With Crochet, I think that worked out nicely with Teal and Montgomery coming from Boston. That was a good one. Certainly much better than the Dodgers and other teams that offered a half year ago. I think they're doing the right thing with Robert. Unfortunately, he doesn't have much trade value now. So, I mean, I think they're doing the right thing. I know that doesn't make you feel much better, Mully, because it's going to be a little while. You know, it's not going to be 6 months before they're great again.
Real quick, John, are you going to pick the Red Sox to win the AL East? Are they in a position to be a favorite in that division? Because here in Chicago, Sox fans look at the Red Sox and they bemoan the fact they have Crochet, and now Cub fans are looking at they got Bregman. So the Red Sox are a team a lot of people are following here.
I understand. I think the Yankees are probably the favorite. I haven't gone over everything yet, but I don't think I'm going to pick the Red Sox. They certainly had a great offseason. They certainly are very much improved. I like Buehler as well on a one-year deal. I think they're doing great stuff, but I think the Yankees are the favorite in that division still.
Great stuff, John. Always a pleasure, buddy.
Thanks,
Hope
John.
You're well.
Same here, guys. We'll talk next week.
That is John Heyman. He's our guy.
He's our guy.
Oh, I love
He
John
keeps
Heyman.
Us posted and yeah, all the going he's on, and he's guy. Just really a good guy to be plugged in with.
No question about it. He does a wonderful job.
The Red Sox are really an interesting team, and I underestimated when you look at what they did. What are you furling your brow for? What do you have that look on your face?
I don't like that. I don't like the Red Sox.
I don't know what I'm supposed to say. I don't like it either, but like, look at what they've done.
I don't like that if you're ever in Boston, they call them the Sox.
They are the Sox. Yeah. They are the Sox in Boston.
They're the Bo Sox.
They're the Bo Sox, but you look at what they did. John reminded me of Buehler. They signed Walker Buehler.
Yeah,
they got Crochet.
Did you see what the Cubs did today? Did you see what they did?
Chris Flexen.
They signed Chris Flexen.
Yes, they signed Chris Flexen to a minor league contract.
Pretty
Listen, they've
stuff.
Got to do something with that rotation. They need some
they gotta,
help.
They
got
to do
depth.
Something with that money that they made when they traded Cody Bellinger.
Now they only have $27 million dollars left to spend. And change.
Mully and Hawes, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
Well, I love that dirty water. Oh, Boston, you're my home.
I've been fortunate enough to be in the playoffs the first 8 years of my career, and I plan on continuing to do that here. I'm a winning player. It's a winning organization. Those players are winning players. We have winning coaches here, and I plan on winning here. After talking with some of the guys over the last 2 days, I can see that there's something special here. Franchise players, veteran players, young players, all ready to get after it. From the beginning of this process, ownership has met with us and expressed how they want to win and win in Boston. And they have showed us how they have a track record of doing it before. And I believe in all those guys in that clubhouse, and after playing against them, I definitely do, and I think everyone here is motivated to win.
Yeah. Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. That is the voice of the newest minted Red Sox, and I mean minted. That is Alex Bregman on joining the Bo Sox, and he's a winning player, and he plans on cheating and winning in Boston. So let's get that straight.
That's pretty unfair, but funny.
Oh, I'm just making
it's funny.
A joke.
It's funny, yeah.
Just being
he's part of that Astros human. Past that's going to follow him wherever he goes, and on to Boston it is. And he's the one that got away this season right now for the Cubs. Until Matt Shaw succeeds, you will wonder if Alex Bregman is the one that got away. You might also wonder that about Craig Breslow, who has had...
He got away.
He was in the Cub organization, and he went to Boston to run his own team, and he was a Theo Epstein disciple, and he went to Boston to be the general manager. And he's had one heck of an offseason. And here the Red Sox are now, after engineering a trade for Garrett Crochet, now signing Alex Bregman. You feel like the Red Sox have a direction, and part of that direction was, or part of that course was charted by Theo Epstein. Listen to this from Craig Breslow in The Athletic. We're going to talk to Jen McCaffrey, who wrote the story at 9 o'clock. Quote, he was incredibly helpful. From everything from let's make sure that we zoom out and see and appreciate the big picture to here is maybe the right way to communicate. How are we thinking about this or that? Also, he was very respectful of the reality that ultimately this had to be my decision. And while his opinion may be something, I needed to do what I felt like I was comfortable with.
Yeah, no, I think that Theo understands his role.
Theo Epstein, cub killer.
Well, see, again, they gave the guy $40 million a year. It's hard for me
I know.
To say, oh, Theo, you know, he's the great, he knows how to handle Scott Boras. They have a...
But he does. There's a structure of the contract which made him more willing and able to sign it.
David, they gave the guy $10 million more than the Cubs offered.
Okay.
Of course they signed him. And I love that we are respecting Theo, and I have nothing but respect for Theo. But at the same time, I think, you know, I've been to news conferences where Theo's talking and you sit there and you're like, God, how blessed am I to listen to this man talk baseball? I mean, he's that good. But at the same time, I don't think he could have gotten the guy for less money than the Cubs offered. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's not like there was some kind of Theo discount involved.
Well, not a discount, but there was a caveat that I think we have mentioned. The issue of deferrals is a real thing, and it maybe swung the deal in favor of the Red Sox because of their willingness to structure the contract in a way the Cubs were unwilling to do. And I think that's creative, and that is reflective of what his role might have been.
Don't you think that deferment is a way for the team to pay more money to the player? It's more a team methodology than it is a player. What happened with Bregman, whether we want to admit it or not, is that he took the most money that was on the table in terms of average salary per year. And he wanted to get his $40 million a year. He's got a 3 years, I believe. Is it right or is it four? Where he gets opt-outs, but basically he's assured of making that money. And then he can get back on the free agent market, whether he believes he's outplayed the contract or the price of paying.
It's a very creative deal. It's shrewd in its structure. And I think that while the rest of baseball, including us here in Chicago, are trying to figure out whether deferrals are a good or bad idea for free agent pursuits, the Red Sox and the Dodgers are saying, yes, they are. Well, they're moving on.
They're spending money.
They're spending money.
That's what.
But they're spending money now, but they're also spending money that they're pushing it down the road, and they're saying we're going to spend it later. They're not really spending all of it now. They're spending half of it now.
No, it's allowing them
to finance a third baseman.
Yes. Yes.
They have a third baseman on a really long-term payment plan.
The Cubs, they had a meeting and they approved whatever money they offered him, but they didn't want to give him the kind of money that he got in Boston.
Fair enough. But
the only reason that he signed in Boston.
With that will come criticism, and it's coming in waves, whether it's Ken Rosenthal, John Heyman, or the people that cover baseball for a living, national reporters and opinionists. They are having the opinion that the Cubs fell short because they were unwilling to spend.
Okay, and I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying Boston won because they were willing to spend. I don't think it had anything to do with any Theo manipulation or clever deal. It was the amount of money they were willing to spend on the guy that got him to sign, right?
I think they're crediting Theo for some of this. They're giving him not all of the credit, but if he weren't involved in some way, shape, or form, I don't think we'd be talking about saying his name this morning.
I just think it's money. 3-1, being cynical, I guess. 312-644-6767. It's Mully and Haw on the Score.